part of the Global Innovation Awards jury for the International Hospital Association. We've been doing this for around 20 years. And it's my pleasure to introduce my fellow jurors, Henrik Peter Nielsen, and then Ann Kong and Wolfgang Gruschwitz. And together, we have put together a great presentation talking about retail and things that we found in the current environment, which is definitely challenging. But we're very, very excited because it's the beginning of really a new era for all of us. Oh, I got to press it hard. Let's see, where's it getting? I'll never forget the day, Tina, when Derek called us and said that the Housewares show was going to be canceled 2 years ago. And during the last 24 months, it's been extremely challenging. But the fact that it's open now is truly a great beginning for all retailers, and we're really, really excited because it really signals something much, much bigger. Of course, as you see on Michigan Avenue, whether it's Fifth Avenue in New York, Michigan Avenue here, the number of retail closures and the doom and gloom is all over the world where retailers have definitely closed down, and there's no question we're not denying that. The doomsayers have all said this is the end of the traditional retail, which we hear. But in reality, we really believe something different, that it's not, retail is not dead, but definitely mediocre retail is the one that's dead. And there's no place better than this last weekend, where on Saturday, we recognized the top retailers of the world at the Global Innovation Awards. And it was fantastic to see retail concepts from all over. We had the opportunity to see and meet all of the retailers that are doing a great job and present the best retail awards, but all 33 retailers really showed something this year, innovation that we've never seen before. Our finalists, of course, were Brazil, let's see here, there's France, Taiwan, US, Argentina, and we're gonna go through that more in detail. We had a best windows from India, and then our Australia retailer had the best digital. And what it showed us is that retail is alive and well. There's a lot of great retail concepts coming up, and I believe that it's all about the customer experience. Today, you've got retail, the mediocre and the exceptional retail to us is going to be all about the customer experience. If you look at the last 24 months, you kind of close your eyes and say, oh my God, what have we been doing? It's like, I'll tell you what I was doing together with my wife, Wendy. We were doing Netflix, we were doing Zoom, and we were shopping on Amazon, okay? So Netflix is still pretty good. I think that's a pretty good, way to spend your time. But if you look at the Zoom, right, of what Zoom was all about, I mean, really, can we all say that we're excited to go to the next Zoom meeting? I mean, Zoom was like, my God, how people spent their time in Zoom, and it's become such a drag, and it's been so challenging, that I can't say that Zoom is something that we're looking forward to. Hopefully, we can do less of it and more in-person meetings. Online shopping, of course, that's very efficient, and you can buy anything today online, and we know all about the Amazon doom and gloom that's going to kill retail. But in reality, 80% of the retailer, 80% of consumers have experienced at least one fail buying online. I'm sure all of you have had situations, right, where, raise your hands if you have at least one, right, where it just didn't go as planned. Most of you have had something that did not go as planned. So really, online shopping, although it's fun, but it really is not the answer of the expectation to reality, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. When you want to order something fantastic for your home, right? And all of a sudden, the reality is something different. So this is happening all over. And so you look at the online retail as being the answers. I don't think so, right? That still, you've got to get out there and shopping. And during the last, during the last 2 years, we've seen exceptional, exciting retail on the experience. For example, this pop-up installation, which was a Coach Disney collaboration with the artist Keith Haring in New York, which really allowed customers to basically jump into the product. It was a fantastic display. This particular display or concept, another pop-up featuring Van Cleef Maison, that really allowed the art and the jewelry to come together. This example out of Dubai, okay, called That, was a retail experience combining merchandise with apparel, food and beverage, and art and culture all under one roof. Very large store. We had Rolling Stones open in the UK, which again was a big, huge experience bonanza, where really, if you look at it, it really combines the best of retail and fan appreciation. All of this has to do with experience in retail, so that something, as we get out of our houses, something that we're looking to really experience. The new IKEA little billboard in UK as well, showing this whole light show to focus on retail. This is a great store in Texas, Austin, Texas, Confectionery Chocolates, which is merchandising her products like a jewelry store. So it really is something that's above and beyond and really gives a customer a total experience. To us, experience is what is going to be the true differentiator moving forward, even in the cannabis business, where you've got this ability to create something above and beyond, where yes, you can educate the customer, but you can also give them a certain amount of art. So today, the art and the graffiti is so strong in this store that customers really like the store just for the art and the feel. So we're seeing the blending of this. The new Herman Miller exhibit here, or store experience here in Chicago, 45,000 square feet, where you can experience the Herman Miller brand through all the various product lines that they have and really test the difference of really is the Aaron chair still the best chair to buy for your home office. It's all about the experience today. This particular store in India showing the reusing of recycled materials in their art is something very creative. Giving the customers, oh, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of different. I really want to get out of the house and really sample some of the new things. Defying the odds. So one thing that we found as we read all of the submissions of the 33 best retailers was incredible stories of new business, new retail. For example, Australia and the Make Store with a 30% increase in sales, 113% increase in profit during the last 2 years. We had the Turkey store that had a 65% increase in sales and a 12% increase in profit. We had the Brazil store in the last 2 years of the pandemic that went from 350 employees to 600 employees. How does that happen during the darkest days of retail? Certainly, there's been retailers that have really defied the odds and gone above and beyond, which is very exciting, you know, that there are those retailers that did that. And in our opinion, it's way beyond just retail and merchandising, but it's creating this whole experience in retail, something that they do and is very special. For us, when the retail shut down 2 years ago, we said, well, the retail consulting is going to be kind of put on hold. We do consulting all over the world, creating store brands and consulting with retailers. So our group, we created a concept called EJL Entertainment, creating the wow experience. This is something that we did 24 months ago. EJL, by the way, stands for, Henry, this in Espanol is híjole. Okay, so it's creating the wow is what we want to be all about. And we said that if we can create the wow in retail, that's something that we would be practicing what we preach. So we took a look at one aspect that we thought was going to grow during the pandemic, which was the home delivery of food business. So we saw an opportunity that when you order something on Uber Eats or whatever platform you have in your country, generally speaking, what you order and what you get is two different things. So we said, is there a way to create a little bit more interesting experience so that when you open the bag, it doesn't look like this, that it looks a little bit more interesting? In other words, can we create the wow in a very mundane business of home food delivery? So we created this concept called Sushi with Attitude. It's this great graphics, a bento box, so that when you open it, it's a great experience, you know, and it's consistent every single time. It is a creative sushi with some salad on the right. The left is some chicken skewers. By the way, it's delicious. And then there's individual dipping sauces. But it allows a customer, when you get it, an experience that's truly unique. And, it, of course, the social media hit it hard, and they love taking pictures and showing. And during the last pandemic, great on catering. So as everyone didn't want to do the buffet, everyone wanted their individual meals, we can just stack these boxes up and deliver it literally hundreds at a time. So that was something that our group created to kind of test what we are all about, which is, you know, creating the wow experience. But it's been a very big hit in terms of delivery and customers taking this on picnics. And we created this product, which is this creative sushi that allowed us to really expand the brand. And we actually took it to a physical retail spot where we sell fresh sashimi fish and cut it in front of the customer and deliver a fresh product. And really, it's a wow situation because it's something that they can't get. Usually, it's just in the refrigerator at the store for so long. And so this is fresh, made to your order, and it's a grab-and-go situation. And it's a whole retail experience of various Japanese snacks and Japanese products. This one is from New York called Mochi Doki, a very designer mochi ice cream product. And then we have this incredible sake display that has some fun sake, like the sake jelly shots, the flavored sake, the carbonated little sparkling sake. And it's a fun retail experience that we've created together with the traditional sake, where we're actually doing storytelling and taking customers through a journey where they can match the perfect sake with their total sushi. And so that's something that we've done. So educating the customer, giving the customer this experience is something that we did. Today, 56% of the customers agree that the customer-generated content is going to be very important, whether it's written reviews or photos from their Instagram. And that's something that we've really relied on. Going forward, 61% of the retailers this year agree that they're going to have the experiential retail as part of their three-year plan. So that's something that hopefully all of you will consider, that it'll be an integral part, whether it's what we did in the packaging or the QR codes that can be scanned, or more importantly, the QR codes that can be easily referenced in terms of getting the reviews of the customer, because the customers really believe that they will listen to other customers' reviews. So that's become a very important element in the retail. Over the past decade, psychologists carried out a great amount of research proving that in terms of happiness and a sense of well-being, spending money on new experiences is much more profitable than buying new things. It brings more joy. It's all about the experience, and that's something that I think is the best opportunity now that we've been coming out of our shell after 2 years. Today marks for the Houseware Show and for all of us really the end of this lockdown. It's time to get out. We're very, very excited, and we are very convinced that this is the beginning after 2 years of the biggest retail expansion in the history of our modern times. So as retailers, we hope that all of you can take the information that we have to share together with all of the booths and vendors that you have, take it back to your stores, take it back to your city, and really re-energize all of your operations, because we need to get ready for what's coming. It's going to be very exciting. Thank you. Thank you. Ann, next, please.
Thanks, Scott. That was fantastic. Do I have to turn this on? No? Okay, great. Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of visual merchandising trends and look at retail 360. There are some good vibes to report. For the first time in, I think, our history, we have six generations of shoppers shopping simultaneously, with the Zs and the Alphas being both digital natives. What's exciting news here is a recent study shows that 77% are shopping both in brick and mortar online. And their expectations are very high. 93% say that the visual appearance of a product is the most important thing for them. So visual merchandising is the one most powerful step a retailer can take. And it's the most inexpensive investment you can make for your store. Color, imagery, signage, graphics are the keys to the success. So trending for 2022, we see color being the number one influencer. Consumers are drawn to touches of joy, smaller, little, intimate purchases, and gatherings back in our home post-pandemic have led us to the popularity of themed tablescapes. Consumers are obsessed right now with creating new extended spaces in their homes, and staying organized has particular importance now because we're working from home and we need to make our spaces more manageable. Let's look at some examples. So post-pandemic, color spaces are popping up all over the globe, uplifting spirits and boosting senses. In window displays, as we see here in this Hermes window with these fantastical large-scale mushrooms, they grab our attention and bring us into the merchandise presentation that we see on the stump and the floor. In dynamic environments, corporate headquarters, exhibition halls, color is everywhere. In-store, vibrant and saturated multicolored store spaces visually attract much quicker and hold the attention of the consumer for a longer period of time. Using patterns, as we see here in hometown India, with merchandising is key, horizontal and vertically. At West Wing, each mixer finds itself in a block pattern, its own little case. The LED backlighting makes the product prop. This technique can be used in darker areas and in areas in the back of the store. And accent merchandising, or what we call touches of joy, are typically purchased, again, in smaller lots or singles or groups. These displays should not be grouped together. They should be scattered throughout the store. Visual merchandising should have tiers or levels in the store. The strength of each display should never be the same. Windows and feature walls should be louder and bolder. Much like the runway is a stage, so should the windows and the feature wall areas, not just in color, but in composition. At La Maison in France, a multicultural setting here uses textural grass running down the center of the table. Tactile elements are more important now than ever. But what happens is the products themselves become artifacts. They go beyond merchandise, and the eclectic mix brings a museum-like quality to the setting. There's a similar strategy used in all three of these displays. Great display is a mix of large and small objects. The mix of antlers and vessels that we see tell a very eclectic story on the left. And in the center, all those textures in the foreground really play a crucial part in attracting our attention. And the black surface here on the right really creates great separation and makes that glass pop off the wall. So we really have to think about what we're displaying, where we're displaying, and what we're using as far as background. Displays, however, with lighter colors require contrasting accents. Typically, florals and decorative objects serve very well here. The pandemic has truly forced all of us to reimagine our personal space. I know for one, whenever I went out and experienced outdoor eating, I kind of fell in love with the space, and I wanted to bring that feeling home somewhat. So we see those influences, and more than ever, our home has become a sanctuary. Whether you have a balcony in a big city, you could have a window ledge, or you could have an extended porch in the burbs, but outdoor spaces have a much greater importance to the consumer. So you have to think about designing displays to incorporate ideas for extending those spaces. Create displays that suggest innovative solutions for like backyards, decks, makeshift areas, incorporating outdoor elements such as stones and pebbles and woods and grasses, again, tactile elements, branches and greenery. Bring a mix of these indoors and use them throughout the display. And since many of us have been working from home, promoting the idea of conservatory or a quiet place to reflect, where we can grow plants or just transition after a really busy day at work. Creating soothing merchandising stories is appealing to a younger generation of shoppers. Nourishing senses, filtered with muted palettes, rounded shapes. And create movement. I found these windows from hometown particularly inspiring, where I see the merchandise animated. Don't be afraid to arrange products in new and daring ways, a little bit on the irreverent side. I love the way the pillows just kind of pop off the wall and they find their way, even though the setting is very, very soft. Wellness has trickled down into just about every category in the store, from spices to vegan leather. Larger displays incorporate natural elements to translate that message for healthier living very nicely. And living and working from home has increased our need to stay organized and consolidate our spaces. So displays, when we're working around creating displays to translate these ideas, it's important to speak to specific zones like kitchen, home, office, bath, and closet for consumers to relate. Consumers are actually having a greater appreciation for finding what they need in store. I truly believe that comes from shopping online. We've been looking at grids for a long time, but grid merchandising helps in locating products more quickly, as we see here in both Taiwan and Belgium. Another good example, organized shopping has greater visual appeal, so does backlighting in store. So when you have those opportunities, I would think about making the investment because backlighting on any level or any scale brings the product to life. This innovative use of chairs to merchandise small product displays is fantastic. This is probably one of my favorite displays. The graphic to the right gives depth, but the wall has such wonderful contrast. And when speaking with the visual merchandising director to Hometown, he was saying how the chairs were something that were repurposed, actually. So, and they were painted green. So this is just a lovely, unexpected way to kind of greet a customer with presentation. And lastly, I will say, treat your merchandise like art. Whether you put it behind glass or you put it on a pedestal or backdrop it and light it up, they will want it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. First of all, I think I would like to congratulate all the nominated stores this year. And please remember the ones that didn't win in Chicago, that you were all chosen as the most innovative store within your country. So you are all winners. But what I would like to start with is the importance, and luckily we've seen a lot of good examples of it, that is, it's so important and vital that you are worth a visit. And we saw some good examples also from last year when they had to cancel it in Thailand. We saw it in Germany this year, Australia the other year, and Taiwan this year, that there needs to be reasons to stop by. Otherwise, people have learned how to shop online. It used to be 80-20, like 70-30, now it's, so it's increased 10% in 6 months. When we had the lockdown. So making it matter, making sure that people stop by. We saw a rare and very innovative constellation in Taiwan where they combined gastronomy and well-being. They also had an instant repair area so you could come in with your products and have it fixed right away. And while you were waiting, you had the flexible point of sale solution. You had demonstration areas. You had dining area that would make a customized fresh juice for you, or you could choose to go to their yoga studio or sit in their library while you're waiting. This is a destination. And that is important, that it's not just about the products. You need to be a destination where people come and shop. We saw a great example in Argentina this year with a tea bar, a saloon, and a wine bar, all matched and mixed in together with a wonderful display of their products. The same thing goes for the French winner this year, wonderful store where they are the destination. People travel far to visit her store and to get this experience and spend time there. Same goes for Sweden, Artilleriet. It was also a place where people really drop by and stop and spend time. But before people stop and visit your store, they need to find out that you exist. They might be sitting on Saturday morning having a desire or a need. Their toaster might have burned something. They're Googling. So this I encourage you all to use and spend some time on, because if you want to double the chance for a physical visit in your store, you want to do like Switzerland did this year. Because Google Street View offers an opportunity to also use Google Street View indoor. And people Google and they found out your opening hours, and then they want to go inside and see which kind of brands do you have, what is the feeling and atmosphere within your store. So this is extremely important that you also allow people, because when they're sitting and looking at all the options they have of where to shop, this really helps, and it does double the likeliness of you getting the visit. If you want to take it a step further, where Google Street View is static, then you can use the same photos and convert them into a virtual reality tour. And this is a service that is good for ankle biters, not just the big box. Poland, Polish winners a few years ago, they gave this option to their customers. So you could walk in, if you took your virtual reality glasses on, you could go around in the store, get the experience, and you could click on the products, and then you'd jump right to their online shop. If there was a TV screen in the store, that TV screen could run commercials while you were walking around. So use this opportunity to give this live interactive feeling and let people play around with your store, even though they might be away. If you look a little bit about the standard elements that we see in the best-in-class store this year, it's all about customer focus. You need to have that moment of truth, because we can all make great displays, you can have great advertisement and everything, but it doesn't really matter if your staff is not ready for the occasion when people stop by. So what we are seeing, a trend is moving from customer service to customer success. A lot of the winners this year were very good in explaining how their focus was to ensure that the customer got exactly what they needed, not just what you were offering. We saw it in Uruguay this year, where they ensured that all products, electronic or not electronic, could be tested so you're sure that you're going home with the right product that matches your needs. And of course, what is also very important, if you can, then by all means, create testing areas. You want to give the customers the ability to taste, feel, sense, smell, experience the products. We saw it in Brazil in West Wing. We saw it with Butler and at the US store this year. And a very nice feature that they also offered during the lockdown was that people who were working from home could stop by her store and use her store as a working space. Or you could go into the yoga studio right next door that she's working with. You also need to have great staff, and we saw a lot of examples, and I think a lot of the retailers wrote that they're not really focusing anymore on hiring people that is educated in the business. It's more important that it's trustworthy. They're saying you can always learn information about the product, but empathy, there's a lot of tools that you cannot teach them. You need to look for people skills more than product information and then learn them. Curated playlist. It's important that you walk around in stores that it reflects the atmosphere that you want to create and the sensation. We saw that with the Argentinian winner from last year, but a lot of other retailers this year is also doing it. The Taiwan store is doing it, and we've seen some of them. The ability to offer flexible point of sale is extremely important, because customers expect you that you're able to look up product information in the aisle. They want to be able to sit down and conclude a transaction regardless of where they are in the store. So make sure you get iPads or tablets installed in your store so you're able to walk around with the customer, look up product information, in-depth video, and you can end the transaction with the online shop in case you don't have the product in stock. So we saw a lot of good examples of that. And when we're talking about integrating the e-commerce solution, it's the ability to offer the clients the freedom to choose ensures that people will stop by your store. Because if they have a fear that you might not have the product in stock, they might not show up. So you need to display and explain people that you can always shop online also in the store. So create that true omnichannel feeling. The Ukraine store that was nominated during the lockdown were very good at explaining also on the website that you could have this experience, and when you came down, you could walk over, the online shop was available within the store. We asked the retailers this year to also describe how to overcome the lockdown. And Scott mentioned some amazing numbers for some of the retailers. But the ability to mix and match, so you were displaying, please remember you can shop online, you can pick up the products. So using also your window displays, we had a retailer in my city that would post on Facebook that she made new window displays. So she encouraged people to, when they were taking their walk past my store, see all the products. Remember, you can buy them online. So there was a lot of retailers who engaged their customers, encouraged them to stop buying even though the store was closed. Some of them were offering open by appointment, so you could book, you could have concierge service. In Portugal, it was the same. You could have private shopping by appointment. Another, and this was one of the most powerful tools during the lockdown, but it's still a very good idea, is Facebook Live. Facebook Live is a costless service, and it's a very good reason, not just for auctions, but also for when you're having tastings, cook sessions, book signings, all that, because what it does is that it leaves a legacy on Facebook. So when people visit your Facebook page, they could have seen, oh, I should have been in your store last Monday. I should have attended that wine tasting on Friday. So you have all, you understand and create that feeling for the customers that they need to stop by and visit your event calendar more frequently. But with the auction, and just to give you an example, a very small store in my hometown in Roskilde, she had 300 transactions sometimes she had more, every Thursday night for 2 hours, 300 transactions. Now, she wouldn't normally have 300 transactions during the week in her mortar brick store. And what was so great is that she was only selling the products she already had in stock. So it was not about she had to buy in a lot, but she was just offering all the products she had, showed them. People would write in the chat that I would like to buy it, put it in a bag, and people would pick it up in the following days. Now, another Danish company decided for Black Friday to try this Facebook Live. They didn't have a history of doing it. They were not really well trained, but they took a professional approach to it. But they had no expectations of how it would go. Now, please remember, Denmark is a rather small country. We are 6 million people. And there are options to buy the electronic products elsewhere. Now, 3 hours, in 4 hours, they sold $3 million. They had 90,000 transactions on Facebook Live. It was crazy. Everyone, they didn't know what happened to them. So it's just saying, this is a cheap, costless technology, and it's really powerful. So I would encourage all to Google and start reading up about how to use Facebook Live for your store. And now we're talking about social media. It is, of course, extremely important. Luckily, a lot of the retailers are already doing it, but we encourage you all to use local bloggers, influencers, invite them to use your store as the platform to test and explain about products. It is so powerful and effective. And what we saw this year is a swift or a turn into using it as a local presence and a local media. Facebook is extremely good for local, but also Instagram, and you invite the bloggers in, and you don't have to have a global approach to it. Use it as a local, powerful tool. Or you can expand it like the Polish store and create a TV studio in your retail store and then broadcast directly from the store. So these were the things. There might be time for questions after, but thank you very much for listening. Wolfgang.
So thank you for my colleagues. They said everything and I have nothing to add. There's nothing anymore to tell you. The only thing is I say thank you to all of you because you're here, you dared to come. And it's a pleasure for me and also for us all that we meet in reality and we have a chance to see us again in this big family. And for this reason, I want to say for the organization a big thank you and a big hug virtually. And I think it's worth to give a warm applause for these guys who organized everything. So my duty is to give you some trends. But you saw a lot of things now, and these are the trends already. I cannot give you color codes, for this is, other guys are more important for this. Also materials, it's not this topic. I think it's more the strategy and how you go to the people and how you go to the clients and how you estimate this. So I want to show you some points which you need to do in the store or in your philosophy and in your concepts to be successful in the next years or in the near future. To discover something and to bring the people back into the store, I think the frequency, the lack of frequency, is the biggest problem in towns, in shopping malls, and maybe also in your stores. If you are not affected in this, be lucky. But we have to increase the touch points in a multiple way, and this is the reason why we have a lot of online shoppers, of course, and so why shall they take the stony way to you, to your store, and to come to there to take look for a parking space or anything else. So you have to be unique, you have to make something innovative, create something unexpected. You know, these are some samples from our last 2 years where we had this in the pandemic. And this is Peloton, you know them. They made a huge expansion and a huge development in the last 2 years during Corona. And they expanded also to Europe, and we were lucky to make some stores for them. And they are creating more and more, not only the home trainer anymore, they go to a life and a healthcare company. Also rougher bicycles, it's not new, of course, but they created a community which also in the pandemic grew and were raising. So because they offered not only the bicycles and the garments and the goods, they are not anymore a warehouse of goods, they are more the community builders. Yeah? And they give the people a worth and a proudness to be one part of these companies. And we have also new people like Cowboy or Van Move. I don't know, do you know these guys? Does anybody know them? Yes. These are electrical bikes, which are for city rides, and it's really cool to see them. And we have in California, we have also one baby maker from FLX. I don't know if you know them, but it's also a very cool brand, and they grow rapidly. Totally new, but in the pandemic, they grow. They are normally online sellers, all of them, but now they go into brick-and-mortar stores. So the second thing is to fascinate, to inspire the people. Visual merchandising is not dead. It's the total opposite. Because you need showrooming, you need to explain the people what you have in your store, and you need the room to show them with a good merchandising. We saw this already in the previous slides. So make a fascination point and create new ideas to what you can do with a product. And here, for example, have you been in Starbucks? Yeah? So, yesterday. So, Starbucks is not only here in Chicago in a 3,800 square meter room space. No, it's they are also in Milan. So, it's the city of coffee, or let's say, They founded the coffee making, and they are tremendously successful because they recreate and they showed the philosophy. They showed what you can do with a coffee and how do you brew it. And also Samsung made big stores in not only in Tokyo, also in New York and in some other big cities, just to have an experience store. This is a new trend going up for the brands, not to show the product, just to inspire the people to give them more experience with a product. Gentle Monster from South Korea, they opened in London one store. I'm sure, does anybody know them? They sell glasses, but they change totally their, not only the window, the whole store will be changed every 20 days. Totally, in a really big dimension. And it's only visual merchandising, but it's always Instagrammable. They always get 10 million, 40 million followers if they change their store. This is the best marketing what they can do. So to consult the people, to explain them, to advise them what they can do, how they can pimp up their products, how they can customize the product, how they can reinforce their performance with a product. This is, I think, the next step to build a community and to show them and to explain them. It's a kind of showrooming. And we have a beta store. They performed here in 2019 in the show. Maybe you have seen it in the Innovation Center. They also build now stores in Europe. It's only advising. It's not selling anymore. And you as a product, you make product placement and you have to pay like in a fair for the space. We have, of course, some copy guys, companies who do the same, copy-paste. We have Found and we have Blank in Germany, and it's all about story. They are a little bit going further on because they are not selling electronic or consumer electronics. They are also selling bicycles. They sell Vespas, everything what is around, which can be in a warehouse. And of course, Lululemon, you know them. It's not new, but they provide you with yoga classes, with workout classes. So it's not only a store, it is a community building society or space. This is Rimowa. Rimowa, you know them from the luggage. They have not only nice stores, they have now the heritage thing in the store to build the story, to create the story. And the next step is to make a garage out of it, to repair directly, to pimp up, to make it nicer, and to be more, have more service. It has nothing to do with digital. Everything is offline. Adidas created a new store, Terex. I don't know if you know this, but it's very sustainable. Every material is genuine, is real. Also, the plants are real, and the shoes and the product is also made out of recycled material. But they created a new brand for this. So, Transact. How you can make more out of it? Repair, reuse, recycle. This is the next step in retailing, not to sell only. You have to take care about what the product is going on, the lifetime circle for the product. Take it back, bring it back to your store, you give money to them, and they are not anymore a competitor in eBay or something like that for you, because they are selling the old products. You take the second-hand thing, and you have the chance to be more in contact with your clients, with your community. Marketplaces are some options to do this, but also cooperation is a very good thing of transaction. I show this Tiffany here because Tiffany is a very, let's say, special jewelry store, and they were going to Cat Street Cafe in Tokyo together and say we don't want to waste time and we want to go together because we want to be together with these clients what we are serving. So books and glasses, this is a Berlin job. They sell books, they buy books, but also glasses. because you have to read it, and so in this case, it's obvious to, or it's clear to make it. So engagement is one of the next steps, or the points to manage the community. If you have a community, you have to manage them. You have to give them worth. You have to give them the why. Why they have to be in your store, why they have to be with you together. And you have to bring them, you have to integrate them, you have to give them a place in their head with your brand. You know, your brand has to be in the head of the client. So in this case, you have to do much more. You have to be a care holder or caretaker for this community, and you have to bring more effort in these benefits, what you have to bring to the clients. This is Amazon Go. It's more convenience. The people like shopping, but they don't like to pay. So it is obvious not to have any cash desk anymore. So they did it very well. It was in the 90s. 2019, but we have now new stores like the 24/7 container in Germany, which is combined with robots and with no cash anymore. It's everything is going by app. Or here in Carrefour, they in a French supermarket chain, they have grab and go. They don't have any more a cash desk, so you order it and you take it, and then. Another thing is also the healthcare. Do you know this store, DNA Nudge? They analyze your genes, and they give you advices what you can eat and what is good for you. And the next step is also they give you the possibility to see illnesses, sicknesses, which can come up. And the thing is, maybe for somebody it's scary, but you have to realize if you can measure something in our inner activities, in our human brain or in this philosophy, if you measure something, you want to optimize it. If you have your watch and you don't walk 1,000 steps, and you always have a bad feeling. You want to make it finalizing, and you want to optimize. And if these guys tell you, after they analyzed your genes, and you say, you have to eat this and this and this so you don't get ill or you don't become ill, I think nobody will say no for this advice. So this is also something which you care for the people. And this is also something to be more convenient. You have to go more closer to the clients, to the need of the clients. If we are always waiting till somebody comes, we open the store and somebody will come, I think you lose on the long end, because the people are now can buy online. They have other things to do, like bicycle riding. Maybe they do something others, learning or something like that. But you have to go to them. And this is also the reason why IKEA, for example, is not any longer going out of the city. They are going in the city with 300 square meters. It's a very small store, very, let's say, curated products. But at the end, they did it very well, and they have a good performance. And we have in Germany, we have Schaarigarten. I don't know the word for it, but they conquered or they occupied public spaces, parking spaces on the street, just for the pandemic to give them the chance to sell a little bit more outside. And this was a really successful story for them. And now it's a human being oasis, because they are not only selling there, they also drink coffee. It's like a beer garden. So this will established also, I think, in the future. So, to summarize all these points, I don't want to repeat it, but be a lifetime company for your clients. This is, I think, the most important thing in the future, to not to be exchangeable. or interchangeable. You need to be unique. You need to be a person or a company or a service provider, which is only in the head of the people, and then you will be successful. Thank you.
Okay, I think that concludes it. If you have any questions for us, please come up and we'll be happy to answer them. But on behalf of our jury panel, we really appreciate you attending this session and wish you a great roaring 2020s. Thank you.